Oh, you made it. You're finally here. Welcome to Half Cocktails, a place where we have a great time celebrating science, the social contract, and just plain old congeniality. Dare I say, a place where we seek a path to peace, prosperity, and exploration amongst the stars. What I'm talking about is an all-inclusive society, meaning if you're not on board with the understanding that we all agree to shared rules, norms, and respects, we're not even obligated to consider your opinion any longer, because the social contract is that important to a civil society. I'm your friend and host, Dan, the Worshipin' Dionysus Man, sipping on some science today. I'd like to welcome any new listeners just joining us. We hope you're having a good time. We're here to have a good time as well. Everybody stay tuned until the end of the show. We're going to be talking about 10 sex-crazed celebrities that you actually have got a shot with. Don't miss that. As always, I am joined by some fine and fascinating people here. With me today in the lounge is Amber, my sister who loves the woo-woo and thinks she's always right too. Amber, how are you doing today?
I am hanging in there. Don't forget your blood pressure meds. That's the lesson of the week.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy. No, you're fine. Both sides of our family tree don't have multiple heart attacks. What are you talking about?
Yeah, I'm going to be perfectly fine.
There's no genetic component. You're good. You're good.
Thank you, COVID.
Drink up. Oh, yeah. Yeah, that really messed with the blood clots. Okay, we got a really fun and informative show today brought to us by U.S. Robotics and Mechanical Men Corporation. Three laws we could all agree on. We're going to take a quick look back at Ludwig II of Bavaria and his mysterious death.
Nothing would be better than a look at days of yesteryear in our time machine.
We're talking about Ludwig II of Bavaria. He was born August 25th, 1845, at the Nymphenburg Palace in Munich, Bavaria, which is in Germany today. His parents were King Maximilian II and of Bavaria and Princess Marie of Prussia. Okay. And back in the 1800s, Bavaria was very... fertile plains, big agricultural economy. And so it's not like they were mining a bunch of minerals and were rich on gold. Like, think, you know, a farming country. They made their money selling food to people. They had very traditional values for 1800s Europe, which means, you know, man works outside, woman takes care of the home. I mean, in an agrarian society, everybody's working the farm, right?
It's very true.
You don't have the option. There's no stay-at-home mom job.
Definitely no stay-at-home mom jobs in an agrarian society.
Unless you're nobility. Unless you're nobility,
well,
right?
Nobility is a different. Whole different beast.
Yeah. We're talking two different things. But the nobles were had their gender roles clearly defined, right?
Right.
So he Ludwig was raised in the Bavarian Alps. His king father made sure he got a very comprehensive education. His mother played a little bit of a part in his life. It did try to nurture artistic interests, try to encourage him to be an artist. But young Ludwig had a preference for solitude and introspection. He was a quiet boy. Who loved medieval legends and romantic tales.
Awesome.
Don't we all?
I am a romantic, sadly.
he studied language, history, philosophy. He studied science. Woo, go science! he loved music, especially loved the Wagner operas, Richard Wagner or Wagner.
Who doesn't? Like, they're brilliant.
Flight of the Valkyries.
Hey, the Bugs Bunny song. You remember growing up? That's how I learned all the good classical music was from Bugs Bunny.
Oh, really?
Yeah, don't you remember? Maybe you're too young. Am I the only one here?
No idea. I think he did the Bridal March, too. Like
He did a lot.
Wagner... did a lot.
Yeah.
Did a lot. And this isn't about Wagner, but that was definitely his favorite artist and a contemporary you know, mm-hmm. Wagner was alive mm-hmm. when Ludwig was alive. So he, you know, and he is a prince.
Right.
So he's mingling with the other nobles. He's living mm-hmm. in palaces, grand Bavarian palaces. Mm-hmm. He had a younger brother named Otto that he was mm-hmm. close and is said to have mm-hmm. had a complex relationship with. And I didn't dive too much into that because I don't want to spend all day on his childhood.
I think most siblings have a very complex relationship.
As a kid, you know, being mentored by all the king's advisors and whatnot, mm-hmm. he had great education. He actually started to sketch architectural designs.
Oh, wow.
As a kid. Yeah, that's which cool. kind of foreshadowed a bit of his future.
Mm.
His parents died, and he had to become king at age 18.
Oh, wow.
And
very young.
Stepped right into very political, turbulent Austro-Prussian rivalry.
Oh, boy.
Historically, that Austria-German-Prussian area mm-hmm. has been a little chaotic. People might remember from the years following this, but
just
you know, it was
bit.
Still there. In the 1800s, it was there. But one, you know, really early on, when you're the king, it doesn't matter if you're having geopolitical struggles. You're going to order your favorite, you're going to ask your favorite musician in the world
right,
to
right.
come give you some concerts. He
heck yeah.
He gets Wagner to his court. And immediately he's like, I'm your patron. Make music for me. I will pay anything you want, whatever you need.
Oh, wow.
You got it. And it's said to have been had a profound impact on both Ludwig and Wagner. They had an emotional connection. Wagner.
Were they just friends?
Well, we don't know. He some of his favorite... Some of his later works, such as Tristan and Isolde, and The Ring, and Die Meistersinger, were completed while under Ludwig's patronage.
Mm. Okay.
The suppositions that they may have been closer
mm-hmm.
than just king and a patron.
Mm-hmm.
We've got like one letter from the 15th of May, 1865.
Mm-hmm.
Which would have been when he was 19, 1 year after being king. Ludwig okay. wrote to Wagner, "Dear friend, oh, I see clearly that your sufferings are deep-rooted. You tell me, beloved friend, that you have looked deep into the hearts of men and seen there the villainy and corruption that dwells within. Yes, I believe you, and I can well understand that moments come to you of disgust with the human race. Yet always we will remember, will we not, beloved? That there are yet many noble and good people for whom it is a real pleasure to live and work. And yet you say you are of no use of this world. I pray you, do not despair. Your true friend conjures you. Have courage. Love helps us to bear and suffer all things. Love brings at last the victor's crown.
Mm-hmm.
Love recognizes, even in the most corrupt, the germ of good. She alone overcomes all. Live on, darling of my soul. I recall your own words to you. To learn to forget is a noble work. Let us be careful to hide the faults of others. It was for all men indeed that the Savior died and suffered. And now what a pity that Tristan cannot be presented today. Will it perhaps tomorrow? Is there any chance? Unto death, your faithful friend, Ludwig."
Yeah, I would say that that is a very romantical, encouraging letter between friends. It's
right.
interesting to me. A lot I mean, this happens a lot in history where we have queer folk who, for whatever reason, you know, usually the time and place that they're living, that they can't be obvious about their true feelings. We see that with Emily Dickinson as well, that she you know, was just friends. She never married. Her best friend marries her brother, but they're much closer than I think a friendship would be. So we see this a lot. I'd be willing to guess that they were lovers. They were partners, and
now
his stature as king would prevent him from being able to live authentically, right? He's in a very controlled life now as king, and he has a duty to provide an heir.
Oh, he's got power, but also expectations. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
This letter, he is talking about Tristan and Isilde, which is a very old love story. And it's Tristan and Isilde is the musical piece Wagner wrote.
Right.
So we can reasonably assume some of the love he mentions might easily be, hey, no, he's talking about the romantic work.
Mm-hmm,
but
mm-hmm.
when you say phrases like
beloved,
yet we will always remember parentheses will we not comma beloved question mark
mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Well, and if you think about it, I mean, he's king, so his letters in writing, he's probably aware, may be read by someone other than his intended, and being able to couch it in the manner that he does by referring to Tristan and Isolde, he's able to
talk, right?
It's like a cover. I don't know. It's all supposition because we don't for sure, but I'm pretty confident. I would say that this was Tristan and Isolde was the cover.
Platonic and non-romantic love mm-hmm. knows no gender or sexuality.
Oh, absolutely. Right? Absolutely. Right.
A gay man can love a straight man. They
sure.
can love each other and not have any romantic vibes.
Very true.
It doesn't, like,
very, very
none
true.
None of that matters. But when, and I know in the people in my life that I have platonic love for, I don't add this much romantic schmaltzy language.
Right. Yeah. The
I reserve this
language.
For romantic love.
Right. It's just, it's the romantic part of it. Yeah.
So he's got this relationship with Wagner. It creates some tension, as you might imagine,
mm-hmm.
with
mm-hmm.
some of the ministers in Bavaria.
Which would be another clue.
Which is another clue, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because they perceived that Wagner had a lot of influence over him, and mm-hmm. rightfully so, listen to that letter.
Right.
So he also, you know, not one to dally, he starts to build three very famous building projects. The Neuschwanstein Castle, Linderhof Palace, and Herrenchiemsee Palace.
That H Palace, however you say it.
And he used very, like, romantic and gothic designs from, like, romantic fairy tales and whatnot.
Ooh.
And did not spare in a penny.
Uh-huh.
So that started to stretch the treasury. And in addition to Wagner, it should be mentioned, he had close relationships with two other guys, Paul von Thurn on taxes, who was a prince, and a guy named Richard Hornig. They were known and openly had deep emotional bonds, which fueled a lot of public speculation at the time.
Right.
At the time, people were like, I don't know if Ludwig's going to have kids.
Mm.
But they did like his artistic vision, just not his personal life. You know, he was supporting a lot of painters, sculptors, architects. Bavaria was starting to have a cultural renaissance under him. Munich became a vibrant cultural hub. All these artisans and laborers, he was employing a lot of people.
That's fantastic.
Right? To do these public works.
Mm-hmm.
It, however, the other powers that be along with the king, because the king doesn't just rule in an absolute dictatorship style manner. In not every monarchy, they're all a little different.
Right.
He's getting the country in debt. He's spending money they don't yet have.
Okay.
And he's starting to really strain those relationships with his ministers. He's getting more and more reclusive and erratic. And they all got together and they've got this guy named Dr. Bernhard von Gooden to take testimony from servants and courtiers.
Okay.
This guy didn't actually see Ludwig. He sits down and he takes testimony from all these people who are around Ludwig and declares Ludwig insane.
Oh, wow.
They arrest him on June 10th, 1886.
Oh, my goodness.
And they transport him away to a place called Schlossberg.
Okay.
Okay, in isolation, away from the city. They confine him under the supervision of Dr. Gooden. He's not allowed to even see any of his friends or confidants that might be loyal to him.
Wow. Well, if he wasn't insane before then, he will be now that he's being isolated from everyone that loves him.
And the only person he can talk to is the doctor who declared him insane. And wow. Would very much not have a great life if Ludwig was found to not be insane, right? Right.
Yeah.
That's gonna end his career, maybe put him in prison, maybe get him put to death.
Yeah, he has to back up his claims.
I'm gonna keep you insane, right?
Right.
Because the public was absolutely shocked. Absolutely shocked at this, and were said to have had a sense of resignation. Because they and powerless, what can they do? Ludwig's younger brother Otto was also declared mentally unfit to rule due to severe mental health issues. So it went to the uncle, Prince Leopold. Right?
This is sounding like a Shakespeare play.
But it happened after Shakespeare died, so he couldn't write about it.
Right, but I mean.
Yeah, and that dude, when he died, his son became Prince Regent. Who was Prince Regent became king. So it switched to the cousin's line.
Okay.
It very much reads like it was a monarchy steal, right? Like we've got the line of succession, and they're like, you know what? I got the people in my pocket. These boys they're soft. They're into the arts and shit. Oh, they don't know the hard realities of life.
Right.
So Ludwig's arrested. He's confined with Dr. Gooden. He's absolutely devastated, I'm certain. Lots of rumors and stories about his eccentric behavior started flying around to keep the public doubting he was able to rule. And suddenly, 3 days later, three days of this, and at Lake Starnberg, near the castle in Berg, they found Ludwig and Dr. Gooden both dead.
Dun dun dun.
Dun dun dun. And the details are stunningly few.
Which is also very suspicious in the grand scheme of things. Like, that's... Now, my question, do you know, was Dr. Gooden also the one that declared Otto insane? Or was that another doctor?
From what I understand, Otto had a history. Like, it wasn't, out of nowhere. Although Dr. von Gooden was someone who examined Otto at one point.
Oh, interesting. So this particular blog post that someone made they researched.
Give him a shout out. Where is it?
King Ludwig II. Girls in White Dresses. S.J. Braun. This is from 2012. So without really digging into it. Looks like it's still... an active blog, though. There's comments and things that were posted recently. So, Girls in White Dresses, thank you for this information. As Otto got older, he showed signs of his family's famous Wittelsbach eccentricity. So, it does sound like there's something that's running through this family line. He stared off in space during meetings.
But not on the uncle's side.
Right? he was unresponsive at times. Towards the end, he is reported to have spent his days barking like a dog, screaming in a high-pitched voice, banging his head against the walls. So it sounds like there's definitely...
But Amber, that's not his conspiracy theory.
It's true. Oh.
Okay. Well, let's get back to Ludwig while he's still alive. So the evening of June 13th, Ludwig and Dr. Gooden go for a walk along the shores of the lake. They were accompanied by two attendants. And these attendants were instructed to stay at a distance. They don't return for several hours. A search is initiated. Around 11:30 p.m., bodies are found in shallow water near the shore of the lake. Ludwig was found floating face down, Dr. Gooden's body nearby.
Oh, wow.
So officially, they said he drowned.
Yikes.
Even though there was no water in the lungs. Some reports from the initial investigation mentioned that there was no water found in Ludwig's lungs, which typically, if you drown...
you usually have some water in your lungs.
Usually. Now, technically, it would be possible if there was something obstructing the pipes to where water wasn't going into the lungs, and but you still weren't breathing because water was blocking air. I mean,
I guess technically it's possible. No, there is a phenomenon called dry drowning. I'm not remembering at the moment what all the ins and outs of it. Oh, here it is. Okay. So dry drowning is a term used to describe a lung injury that occurs when water is inhaled through the nose or mouth, which causes the vocal cords to spasm and close. So he could have coughed up the water, but the spasms in his throat closed off the throat and he couldn't breathe.
Yes. Okay. All right. So my supposition was correct.
Yes.
You could have something block air from coming in. Okay. So there were no significant visible injuries reported on his body. So they didn't think there was any kind of struggle in the water. Dr. Gooden's body, however, showed signs of a struggle. His face was scratched and his fingernails were broken, suggesting he may have fought back against an attacker. There were also reports of wounds on his head, indicating possible blunt force trauma, which has led to, of course, over the years, much speculation. Some people have said Ludwig, being so sad, just gave up and was like, you know what? I'm just going to fall down in this water and stop breathing. The suicide theory gets pushed aside by most people, and people posit likely that, you know, Ludwig was murdered to prevent his return to power.
Very plausible.
The political motives being very obvious. You have an uncle who was right there, ready and willing to assume the throne and then give the throne to his son. This is actually my favorite theory, is the accidental drowning theory. And I know it's a long shot for the drowning, but we know dry drowning is a thing. At least a variation of this idea is what appeals to me the most. And that would be that Ludwig was like freaking out. He sees his chance to escape and he starts trying to escape. But Dr. Gooden just like grabs his legs and is like, no. And the fight was Dr. Gooden trying not to hurt Ludwig. Why there's no sign of a struggle in Ludwig's body, but Dr. Gooden getting attacked by Ludwig.
Well, that was my first thought when you said that, was like maybe he was trying to save Ludwig and Ludwig was fighting back, trying to do what he was intending to do.
Or a variation of someone kills Ludwig and Dr. Gooden is an unfortunate witness.
Yeah.
Right? And so they just kill him too to cover it up. Right.
Absolutely. It's so hard, but there's no evidence, so we don't know.
I just think no matter which way it's sliced, I don't think Ludwig wanted to live.
I would agree with that.
I think it would be very easy for him in that position to be like, oh, and now you're here to kill me. Of course, I've been expecting this for 3 days.
Right. Yeah, that's very plausible.
The initial investigation was conducted swiftly and somewhat superficially, leading to that official conclusion of drowning. Autopsy reports were inconclusive, did not resolve any of the ambiguities around the presence or absence of water in his lungs. It all happened so fast, and the political implications were so big that, of course, people were like, well, this is some bullshit.
Right. Absolutely.
That's not how it happened. People have wanted to exhume and re-examine his body. And they've never nobody's ever managed to get it exhumed.
Oh, okay. That's interesting.
We'll never know. Especially because, you know, it's like almost 200 years later. Come on.
Right,
it's history now. Like, nobody alive today, you shouldn't be that emotionally attached to Ludwig's corpse.
Right.
You should be more curious as to want to solve the mystery, in my opinion. Ludwig II, King of Bavaria, in a really conservative culture, you can even be king and you can't come out of that closet.
That's very true.
And that's just sad.
I would think it's like doubly hard to come out of the closet when you're royalty. All the eyes are on you. There's so many expectations.
Which, by the way, I really blame the Catholic Church for in Western culture, because before the Catholic Church, it was like, oh, yeah, people getting off. Yeah, they usually do that with other people around. And that, end of story. They usually have other people to help them get off. That's humanity.
Humans are humans no matter the age. Well, that was really fascinating information.
Hope you liked it. I'm going to be putting together a long, long form video on that. And there'll be a really nice long post on it over at halfcocktails.com.
That'd be awesome.
So thanks everybody for joining us today in the time machine. We hope you had a good time. You can, of course, check us out on any of our other segments or the full episode over at Half Cocktails. But for now, take care.
Now things are ending. It's time to go. No more to get through. Thanks for listening. That's our show. Ain't affectation. Oh, we're just leaving you half-cocked. We had a good time talking today. But even best times, eventually they fade away. Ain't adjuration. Oh, we're just leaving half-cocked.